This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game. It's right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
CBS Sports Radio.
Listening to the Vince Quinn Show, weekend overnights on CBS Sports Radio.
Hello again, hello again, hello again. Good to see you. Well, I can't see you, but you get what I'm saying. Vince Quinn back in the saddle with you on CBS Sports Radio. Coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. So, a lot of things to get into this week. Crazy week for baseball. You've got Jeff Lunau, former manager, general manager of the Astros. He files a lawsuit against the MLB. That's going to be a mess. We'll certainly be talking about that. You've got, speaking of the MLB, how about Kim Ng, right? A new female general manager in baseball. Big story. A lot of things to talk about with that. NBA, the trade deadline, or the trade opening, rather, for the NBA, that's on the 16th. Okay, so we're getting really close to the beginning of absolute insanity in the NBA. I mean, think about all the things that are going to be done in such a short amount of time. On the 16th, you're going to get everything opened up for trades. You're already hearing the rumors percolating around. We're going to see big players move. That is a given. That's just how the NBA operates. People are going to move. But then 2 days later, you get the NBA draft. Then you're going to have free agency a couple of days after that. Then you're going to have training camp a couple of days after that. I mean, there's going to be a lot happening in a very short amount of time. The storm is just about to be brewing in the NBA. And a lot of big stories there. James Harden, where's he going to go? The big team that's popped up is the Nets. What happens there? Is that a good fit? Can all three of those guys, meaning James Harden, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, can they all play together? Right? That's a massive question. Does he end up with the Sixers? Daryl Morey, former GM of the Rockets, going to Philly. They've been reportedly interested in James Harden. Please, for the love of God, get him. That would be great. If they could pull that off, that's changing the dynamic of the East. So, a lot of things to get into there. His teammate, Russell Westbrook, where's he going to go? What does it say about the teams that want Russell Westbrook? I think that's a whole different conversation. We're going to get to that in about an hour. But here's the thing that's been bothering me over the course of the week, because there was something, I wanted to talk about this last week. I really did, but it just felt, one of the complicated things about this job is you have to balance sometimes of what is newsy and what's hip and like what's everybody talking about. There's something that nobody's really talking about, but it's a big story here. You know, looking at Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens And where that team is right now is beyond fascinating. Because if you don't know what's going on with the Ravens right now, here's the simple rundown of it. Is on the surface, they look great. They look great. 6-2. They're only behind the Steelers in the NFC North. Steelers have been amazing this year, right? Undefeated Steelers. Okay, credit to them. Offense for the Ravens, 7th in the NFL in terms of points scored. Defense, number 1 in the NFL. They have the best rushing offense in the NFL. So, Vince, what's going on with the Ravens? Why are they such a big deal? Well, here's the thing. Earlier in the week, Lamar Jackson was being interviewed. He's talking about how the team's doing. And offensively, he says, quote, "They're calling out our plays, stuff like that. They know what we're doing. Sometimes stuff won't go our way if they're beating us to the punch." I believe he said all this on Dan Patrick's show. Rich Eisen's show. There we go. See, that's why I have a producer. He corrected me. So, anyway, for Lamar Jackson to come out and say that, that's a damning thing to hear. Okay? As good as, and here's the thing. For the Ravens, they're so good that it ultimately, right now, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. People can know what the Ravens are doing. Lamar Jackson is so dynamic. There's enough misdirection. They're so good at run blocking. All the tight ends and things that they have. Like, the whole thing balances out enough that it still works. They are the best running offense in the NFL. So, 170 yards a game. That's their credit. 31 straight games of scoring over 20 points. That's their credit. So, again, why is this such a big deal? What's so alarming? What's there really to talk about with Lamar Jackson? Well, Lamar Jackson is, one, regressed, which is not too surprising because it's an MVP year last year, but the passing is not there. And what you're seeing is sort of a ceiling when it comes to Lamar Jackson right now. He's starting to hit a ceiling. And now it gets to the point where you got to start asking questions. Not to panic yet. You don't panic yet if you're the Baltimore Ravens. You don't say it's over. It's not trade Lamar Jackson yet. We're quite a ways away from that. Okay? But you think about who the Ravens have been with Lamar. And they've been a really great regular season team. But it hasn't worked out in the playoffs. Two straight playoff appearances, first round exits each time. First game they played out of the playoffs. Last year, Tennessee game. Stunner. Big time stunner. And why was that? Well, one, the Titans got out to a lead early. But then two, the Ravens had to pass the ball. And once Lamar Jackson had to be the passer and not the runner, you got to this point where he showed he couldn't do it. And that's been the criticism of Lamar Jackson. He's not a good enough passer. Short range, fine. Totally fine. Short range, 10 yards down the field, 15 yards down the field. But the problem is when you've got that running game and you've got the short passing and that all works, okay. That's great. But you need a down-the-field passing game. They don't have that. And now you have to analyze. When other teams know what they're doing and they're still able to make it work with the running game, but they can't make it work enough with the passing game, right now they are, let me double-check the numbers here. Yeah, 31st in attempts, 31st in yards. They don't bother passing. They dodge Lamar Jackson on that side of the ball. And figuring out where they're going to go with all of this. How well is it going to work? Is it Lamar Jackson? It's just people have figured him out a little bit, so now this is who he is. He's a, you know, 60% passer, and he's going to be a dynamic runner, and that's what you get. Can he grow more as a passer? Is it the setup around him? You know, because you look at the offense for the Ravens, and they are built to run, sure. So is the problem that Lamar Jackson doesn't have that big-time wide receiver? If he had that guy, does that fix everything? Maybe. Like, is it just they're a DeAndre Hopkins away? A big-time receiver like that? Is that the move they need to make? Because here's the fascinating thing when it comes down to Lamar Jackson. Obviously, he is an incredibly unique talent, and he's a guy that the Ravens have built around masterfully. Because, again, they highlight his best qualities, and they mask his bad qualities. So get a bunch of receivers, speedy guys, short passes, can take it a long way. Give them a big tight end in Mark Andrews. Give them all these different running backs to cycle through. Misdirection in the running game. Allow Lamar to run. Strong defense. You pile all of that stuff up. You look at Lamar Jackson, you go, wow, this is an MVP caliber player. Last year, he's clicking at all cylinders. It's all there. But now, when he takes a little bit of a step back, and they lose a game to the Steelers last week, and you've seen them lose in big games against big teams, they need to get to that next level. So how do they do that? And can they get more out of Lamar Jackson? How much more is left? He's young. So you might say he gets a good deal better as a passer. He had moments last year where he was really good down the field, getting the ball out. But that doesn't always stick. And it's funny in a way because he's playing Cam Newton this week. Right? So Ravens, Patriots. And when you have that game, Cam Newton is his MVP season. One of the most dynamic, unbelievable seasons from any player you'll ever see in your lifetime. Running the ball this way and that way, making balls way down the field, like 50-yard passes, 60-yard passes down the field to nobody's guys like Ted Ginn, who's drifted around the league. You know, that's what Cam Newton did. And you look at Lamar Jackson, it feels like that. But for Cam, the problem has been accuracy. That year, he was really great. Bad receivers, was still making the throws, and they won everything. But it went away. It wasn't the same. For Lamar Jackson, he might be in a similar boat. And so I'm looking at him, and I'm thinking, okay, can he become the regular passer? He's still a good run. He's a capable passer in the short range, but again, a limited passer. Can he become a better passer to make him a truly elite player? Is he a really, really good player that had an elite season? Just trying to figure out who he is, what he is, where the Ravens are, where do you invest your resources? Like, you think long-term of the Ravens. And part of the problem that's so fascinating to them is the Ravens, just at their core, if you're trying to figure out who the Ravens are and what they're about, they've been a defensive team. Right? They've always been about defense. That's what the Ravens do. From the minute that the Ravens existed, they've been a defensive team. Going back to like Tony Siragusa and Ray Lewis and Ed Reed, and you want to look at all the guys they've got now. I mean, they're loaded on the defensive side of the ball. They just traded a couple of weeks ago for Yannick Ngakoue. 25-year-old pass rusher, gave up a couple of picks, took him from the Vikings. And you go, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. They're a defensive team. This is what they do. And so, like, getting ahead of myself a little bit, it's just fascinating, the idea that you have Lamar Jackson, a guy who was an MVP at 22 years old. Now, he doesn't look quite the same at 23. They've had these problems in big games, in playoff games. He's a year or two away from getting a contract again. What is he worth? If you're the Ravens, do you throw all that money at Lamar Jackson and assume it's going to work? If you're going to throw money at Lamar Jackson, that's going to take away some resources. Do you take that away from the defensive side of the ball and try to add more around the offensive side of the ball? How much more do you reasonably add when you're paying a quarterback that much? He's supposed to carry the team for that kind of money. So the whole thing is very complicated web. And again, it's not over by any stretch right now for Lamar Jackson, but I do think it's curious that, one, he is struggling. He has taken a step back as a passer. Like right now, 63% just about as a passer. Okay, so today's age, not a dynamic number. Couple of points back from what he was doing last year. And so he can run and run and run and run and run, but if he can't make the passing plays enough, they're going to have big time issues. And when you pair that with the fact that teams have started to figure out Lamar Jackson. Like, think of Doug Peterson and the Eagles, okay? One of the things that allowed them to go as far as they did in 2017 and go and win the Super Bowl, it was innovation. It was the idea, we're going to be super aggressive on fourth down in a way that other people aren't willing to do. And that's what they did. But then the next year, more people started being aggressive on fourth down. You lose the advantage. They've sat back, they've looked at the tape, they've run the numbers. For Lamar Jackson, it's kind of the same thing. You see what he did last year, you sit back, you look at the tape, you figure out the numbers, you go, okay, well, we'll let Lamar Jackson beat us on the ground. But if he's got a pass, then we think we can win that matchup. And that's where they're at right now. So where is Lamar Jackson? You know, like, where do you put him in the hierarchy of things? That's one of those things I wonder about. Is he a elite QB? Is like a, you know, typical sports guy kind of conversation? Is he just a really good player? Is he a guy that they can give a big money contract to down the line? Would you trust him if you had to pick, you know, a handful of quarterbacks that you would want for a final drive at the end of the game? You need to come back and score. Is Lamar that guy with a minute left and you got to throw the ball? I don't know. I thought I would feel a lot better about Lamar Jackson in this moment than I do right now. That's the thing. I think he's a good player. I think he's going to be a pretty good player for another couple of years here. But when defenses have figured him out and they've built around, the Ravens have built around him the way that they have, it just feels like it's peaked. So I'd love to hear from you about it. I mean, is it peaked? Is this what the Ravens are? Is this what they're going to be? Is this as good as it gets for them? Because that defense is great. And the running game is great. And they've built it around Lamar. But they haven't won those big moments. 855-212-4227. That's how you join. 855-212-4227. I'm Vince Quinn. And you can join the show on Twitter as well if you want to hit me up there at It's Vince Quinn. That's all one word. At It's Vince Quinn. Okay, now this call is from Baltimore, so I'm going to brace myself here. Let's go to Michael, who's in Baltimore. What's going on, Michael?
How you doing, Vince?
What's up?
Hey, man. So I was just calling to talk about Lamar. I think that a lot of times there's a lot of national narratives that are driven about Lamar from people who probably don't watch him that often. One narrative is definitely like the big game thing. I don't really understand that. Lamar was 5-1 against playoff teams last year. He's, what is he right now? I guess 2-2 against teams with winning records. This season, I don't think that there's a big game thing.
Well, if for what that's worth, like it's, you know, it's the playoffs because they've been bad in the playoffs the past couple of years. And in the Tennessee game, he was downright awful. They lose to the Chiefs all the time, which is forgivable enough. Losing to the Steelers last week. There's enough things there.
Awful is definitely a stretch with the Titans game. The first Chargers game, a lot of people don't take into account that was his eighth start and the first time he's ever played a team twice, and he's also running a wishbone offense. Like, he looked awful for three quarters in that Chargers game. But if you were to have been a regular season game, it would have come to no shock to anyone that a rookie would play that bad in his first time seeing a team twice in his eighth start in the middle of the season.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like the whole playoff narrative is kind of a stretch right now. I feel like it's way too early. I don't think that you can really make a referendum on somebody whose first playoff loss was their eighth start. You know what I mean? That's kind of a stretch to me.
Well, yeah, it's not just based solely on that. But, you know, the problem is, and it was more of a coaching issue last year because Lamar is a runner, and they decided that, okay, we're going to make him pass a lot earlier in that game than they needed to. And they just kept throwing and it didn't work. So, yeah, that's the thing. Like, I'm not here to just totally slam Lamar Jackson. I thought he deserved the MVP last year. And I think he's still, right now, a pretty good player. But it's just the idea. It almost feels like the Ravens have hit a ceiling here. And the only way they get out of it is if Lamar just improves as a passer or they find a way to get him an elite receiver that can get down the field.
I think the main issue is that Greg Roman is not calling pass plays that are getting these receivers open. We don't have a lot of talent on the outside, but Greg Roman is not getting these receivers open. If you go look at the All-22, I mean, there's no creativity in our pass game. There's no real misdirection in our pass game at all. Not only that, the offensive line has regressed. I think everybody's kind of taking a step back, but I think that all in all, I mean, he's 23. He's very good with protecting the football. He's amazing in the red zone. And I think that a lot of times people are so focused on what Lamar can't do that they don't appreciate what he does do well and what he actually can do. So that's just all I had to say.
Yeah, Michael, I appreciate it, man. In a sense, just to kind of cap what he's saying there, little Ben Simmonsy. Ben Simmons can do basically everything. He can't shoot. Everybody criticizes him for that. So maybe they're the same guy. Maybe that's just what it is. But if you want to talk about it, 855-212-4227. That's how you join the show. Now, I want to get to a great story in college football on the other side, really heartwarming story, and a sleeper for this upcoming NBA season, an unexpected sleeper. That's all coming up next.
You're listening to the Vince Quinn Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Step by step, ooh, baby, gonna get to you, girl. Step by step.
Hey, you are listening to Vince Quinn, the greatest radio morning show ever. Until next week.
That's right. Best morning show in America, Graceffo.
Until next week when we'll be off the air.
Yes, and some other show inevitably replaces us. Yes, but whatever show replaces us will be a morning show. And that's what's important.
Technically not, but okay.
It's a morning show. So, I am Vince Quinn. That is James Graceffo. And if you want to hop in, 855-212-4227. That's how you join the show. You can also hit me up on Twitter at It's Vince Quinn, where, surprise, I had another typo in a tweet. Never happens. trying to promote the show, and I always screw it up. I need an intern just to write my tweets for me. I feel like an old man.
On the list of things that are never going to happen, that's probably like right at the top of the list.
Yeah. Any sort of resource for this show is just a non-starter. That's not going to happen. So I got to learn how to actually pay attention. Like, it's so funny because when I was a kid, teachers were like, well, you got to make sure you double check your work. And I was like, I don't need that. It's like, I got Microsoft Word and there's the squiggly lines and they'll figure it out and I'll just fix that. But then what do you know? You have typos that, you know, you write the wrong word. So it's a legitimate word.
Sounds like you were a slave to technology there, bud.
Aren't we all, Graceffo?
I mean, you know, read that dictionary and be okay.
Yeah, well, I will never do that. There's people who do that, and I admire those people, to be honest with you. I feel like Mike Emmerich, Doc Emmerich, I feel like he was one of those guys. Like, in the offseason, he was just looking for stuff to do, and he's like, okay, what is the 50,000th way I can describe a pass? And he's just reading the dictionary to find words to do.
Do people still have, like, thesaurus, like, hard copy of thesauruses at home?
I hope not. I mean, what do
really?
You do? What do you do with a hard copy thesaurus?
Oh, they're valuable resources, man.
They get more outdated by the day, though.
Especially as, like, you know, a person who does talk radio, you know, you have to come up with different words to describe the same thing.
Well, yeah, Google. Google, there's thesaurus.com is
nothing
a website.
Nothing beats hard copy.
Everything beats hard copy.
Pen and paper will never go away, bud.
I love pen and paper. Don't get me
never
wrong.
Pen and paper will never go away.
Yeah, I'm smeared in ink all the time on my left hand.
That sounds like a you problem.
Well, it is. It's a me problem. It's every lefty in America and the world, by the way.
This doesn't happen to me.
This is a global morning show. Wait, you don't get. How do you not get ink on your hand and you're a lefty?
No, I don't.
How do you write?
I don't know. I get the pencil. On the hand, that happens.
Okay, so
but the pen, that doesn't happen.
It only happens for that doesn't make any sense.
I don't know what to tell you.
Do you grab a pen like a caveman, like a hard fist on a pen, and you're just like,
I really don't know. But it doesn't happen.
I feel like every person who ever has written anything with their left hand gets ink on their hand.
Happens with the pencil, doesn't happen with the pen.
That doesn't make any sense.
I know.
That is so. I just want.
That's like when you have a spiral notebook, but then you keep like running into the spirals. That's always fun too.
Yeah. Well, that sucks. But I just want to do like a like Leonardo DiCaprio in Titanic, and I just want you to like write for me. You know what I mean? Like just write for me, James. That's
cursive, print,
whatever you want.
Like.
You could scribble stick figures doing dirty things that we can't say on the air to each other. Whatever you want to do. But
no,
I just want to
do that.
I want to see. Well, it's for your own entertainment. Whatever makes you satisfied. I I'm trying to visualize how you do it, and you don't get whatever. Good for you. Because I have a pink pen in my hands because I just like writing in different colored inks, but my hand is colored in pink ink right now. That's where I'm at.
Well, you know, soap and water will help you with that one.
Who washes their hands these days? Nobody. Nobody. No, I try. It just won't
soap
come
and
out.
Water going through the roof in economics. The economics of soap and water, big.
It's like the toilet bowl burst in like the 500s, baby.
Soap and Amazon there right at the top of the list of things. And the PS5.
Well, the PS5. You know what? Let's talk about the PS5 for a moment, okay? Because I love that that thing comes out and people are just losing their minds. Because, you know, it's online and you wait for the website to, like, update their stock every couple of hours. And all these horror stories of, like, I waited 8 hours to get a PS5. And once I finally got it in my cart, I went to put in my payment information and it was gone. You know, it's just, there's so much stuff like that. And, yeah, that's what it feels like. And it's crazy because the PlayStation itself is worth $500. You can get a cheaper version for $400, but if you want like a Blu-ray player and you want to be able to put a physical disc into the machine, it costs you an extra $100. So you're talking $500 for the PS5. And I was looking around on eBay.
Great cash, homie.
Well, that's the thing. Because looking around on eBay, and I'll do it right now because I'm curious to see how it's updated. But the prices that people were selling PS5s for is legitimately insane. Like,
pay that man his money.
The people who are paying that man his money right now,
pay that man his money.
Unbelievable. Let me see. I'm gonna pull up PS5 on eBay right now because I'm gonna find the things that are ending soon, because now you've gotten a couple of bids. It's gonna end in the next couple of minutes. Like, what's it actually going for right now? So in the moment, you've got stuff that's going for $1,000. You know, that's not too bad. Some of the highest offers that I've seen. Let's go price and shipping. Yeah, highest prices. There is somebody that exists in the world right now that's decided they think they can sell a PlayStation 5 for $210,000, and they're out of their minds.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for them.
It won't. It won't. Who in their right mind is paying $210,000 for a $500 device? I just don't get it. Like, I love video games. Don't get me wrong. I totally get the appeal of a new system. I would never buy one because I feel like there's always bugs. And it's just like, I'll let other people figure that out. I'll let other people stand in line and all that stuff. I'll just walk into a store a couple of months from now. Also, you know, I'm broke, so you got to save up for that kind of thing. But $210,000? I don't care how rich you are. $210,000 for a PS5 is certifiably insane.
As like, the kids would say, LOL.
Yes. It's embarrassing, frankly. It's crazy to me. Anyway, this is a sports show, so let's get back to it. And one of the things here is I opened the show with the Baltimore Ravens, and I've been trying to figure out what's going on here because defenses are announcing what the Ravens are doing, but they're still successful anyway. And you look at where they are and how good they are, but losing to the Steelers, they lost to the Chiefs earlier this year. It feels like they're a class below the Chiefs. You wonder, playoffs last year against the Titans, you see what Lamar Jackson is, which is a short yardage passer, which is who he was when he came into the league, by the way. You look at the whole thing, and I just wonder if they've hit a ceiling. With what this team is with Lamar Jackson, I wonder if they've hit a ceiling. Like, how much better does Lamar Jackson get? As great as he's been. He took a step back this year, naturally so. Defenses have figured him out a little bit more, figured out the Ravens a little bit more. How much better is he going to get? How much better does the team get? How do you fix this? You know, as weird as it sounds to say for a 6-2 team that scores a ton of points, you got to win those big games. And it is based around the quarterback. And sometime soon, Lamar Jackson's going to make a ton of money. He's been in the league now. This is third season. So when does it get better? How much better does it get? How often do guys actually improve as passers in the NFL? How big a step do you make? Some guys improve here and there, but for the most part, you're not making big strides in that department once you go pro. Not after a couple of seasons. So I just wonder where the Ravens are and how much better they can actually get, or if they're just perennially a team that, you know, they go somewhere in the 11-5 range every year, but they never win a playoff game. Like, they could be that kind of team. That's just the kind of vibe that I get, where they win a playoff game, but they're not in the AFC Championship game every year. They're not the Buffalo Bills of the 90s. You know what I mean? I wonder where they're at. They're just in a very strange place right now. And if you want to talk about it, 855-212-4227. We'll take a quick call. Go to Zach in Maryland. Zach, what's up?
Hey, real quick on the Marshall thing you were talking about before getting on Lamar. I saw on College Game Day that actually the night before the game, so Friday night, the university actually graduated everyone that was killed in that accident 50 years later.
Oh, wow.
So that was kind of a cool segment that they did, too. But so been a Ravens fan since their beginning, and I have to say, I mean, I was a big Joe guy. I grew up right down from University of Delaware, so I was always behind Joe Flacco. But Lamar, I thought, was our guy. I have to agree 110% with what you're saying today. One of my good friends and I talk about this pretty much week after week. If you go back to the Steelers game, it probably could have gone our direction, and it was the only game that Lamar has actually come back from being behind and able to control a game. But with two interceptions and a fumble, you're not going to win a game that way. Unfortunately, I will defend Lamar a little bit. Every time John Harbaugh plays against or coaches against Andy Reid, John Harbaugh out-coaches John Harbaugh, and he cannot find a way to out-coach Andy Reid. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's he was my former boss, and I don't know what to do, but it becomes an issue. I've seen improvement. The first year, Lamar, it was horrible ball control, fumble and fumble and fumble, and week after week, he got better. And I know it was only a few games. Last year, though, I agree with what you said with the pressure. He cannot handle the pressure games. I think the Pittsburgh game showed a little bit of insight that he was able to come back from a deficit. However, he's just not showing something. And after his little bit of a knee injury around the Washington, make sure I get the Washington game. I don't want to call him the wrong
team. Yeah.
He seems very flustered. Now, the Ravens have always had a strong tight end core, and right now Mark Andrews is definitely that guy. You know, Pitta, Todd Heap, we've had great tight ends, and they always seem to come in for us on the end. But Lamar, just something's wrong with him this year, I think, that he's either not 100% in the head or he's just getting flustered. I definitely agree that the defenses are reading it, but ever since that little bit of an injury, he just doesn't seem like he's right there. And
maybe that's it.
And I think he can improve. I agree. I think he has hit a ceiling. He has to show us a little bit of something. And the Ravens have definitely paid the money. They've proven that in the past. But that something's happened, and he just seems off now.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll let you go with that. But I agree with you, but he just – something's not right there with him.
Yeah, and thanks, Zach. I appreciate the call. And if you want to get in, 855-212-4227, that's how you join the show, 855-212-4227. Now, I've pushed this thing off for essentially two segments, so I'm just going to get it out there, okay? I'm looking at this season right now for the NBA, and there's a lot of talk. Like, right now, it's all these big star players, Chris Paul, James Harden, Russell Westbrook. Where are those guys going? Naturally, LeBron and the Lakers, they win the title. What are they going to be? Can Jimmy Butler and the Heat do it again in the East? Like, all that kind of stuff is bouncing around. Let's remember the Warriors exist, okay? Just as all this noise is going on, I think it's important to remember the Warriors exist, that they're in a situation that compared to everybody else in the NBA, they're in as great a spot as you could possibly ask for. Why was there a delay or an interest in a delay from a lot of players within the NBA? They played in the bubble. They played in the playoffs. So you have this short turnaround. The Warriors, they didn't have any of that. They were sitting at home. They were relaxing. They weren't in a bubble. Those guys are fully rested. They've got the number two pick in the draft. They can do whatever they want with that. Like, you just consider where that team is. And I think everything lines up so incredibly well for the Warriors to just go nuts, especially at the beginning of this season. I just think they're going to go off. So that's just been something that's floating around in my head. Anyway, 855-212-4227 is how you join the show. I'm Vince Quinn. You can always join the show on Twitter at It's Vince Quinn. And when we come back, Victor Oladipo, dating in public.
You're listening to The Vince Quinn Show on CBS Sports Radio.
CBS Sports Radio. Listening to The Vince Quinn Show, weekend overnights on CBS Sports Radio.
And I totally knew this was Motorhead. This always knew, never had a doubt, just a huge Motorhead guy. Are you a Motorhead guy, Graceffo?
Yeah, I am.
You are? Yeah, okay.
See, the right songs, yeah.
Because, like, we come in here and we play so much goofy music and we're always screwing around. Like, I don't even know what you actually listen to. Like, what do you actually listen to?
This stuff, like, a little bit of everything. Like, I hate people who say they listen to a little bit of everything, but it's very cliche. But I really do. So I'm not going to apologize.
Okay, so, like, country's in there then?
Oh, no.
See? You're exactly that guy! Yeah, that guy. What does that mean, everything, then?
Like, my parents had the CMT Awards on for some reason on
okay,
TV, and
yeah.
I had no idea why. And I was watching it with them for, like, an hour, and I was like, I have no idea who any of these people are.
Yeah, I know, like, five people, I want to say, in the world of country. Like, there's a handful of songs that I'll listen to that are country. I'm not, like, a country guy, but somebody just came out with an album today, I want to say, that's an interesting country singer. But yeah, for me, it's like I listen to a lot of 70s stuff. I'll listen to a lot of, you know, like 60s Motown, soul. I like all that. You know, we've played Stevie Wonder on the show. I love Stevie Wonder, Marvin Gaye, Sam Cooke. I mean, those aren't revolutionary things, but I'm really into that. Diana Ross and the Supremes. Like, I lived in that for like 4 years or so. Like, that was all I listened to. Now, I'm just getting back into, like, heavy music like that again. You know, driving in today, I was listening to Rage Against the Machine. I haven't put on Rage in, like, I don't know. I mean, since college? It's been a long time. It's been a long time. So now I'm starting to, maybe I'm just angry now. Maybe COVID has broken me, and I'm an angry man all of a sudden, and
it's
in my heart.
Or it's just the world around you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like everything else going on in the world around you.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. But
And then somebody did, like, a cover of The Devil Went Down to Georgia. And that was literally the only song that I knew of all these people up there singing songs.
See, there's some good country. Like, for what it's worth, country used to be obviously like that old twangy. I'm trying to think of some of the names right now. I think of like Dolly Parton, for example, like where that was then. But you think of where it is now. Country's basically pop at this point. I mean, they're the same. They're totally the same. They cross over a lot. Like, there's no difference except you're singing the pop song with that same beat and rhythm, but it's just like, you know, like you're mixing in that country singing, but the song's the same. It's all the same.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Not a lot of Hank Williams right now going on.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
Hank Williams is a great one. Like, there's not a whole lot of that. You know, if there is, you know, if that's like, maybe that's the underground country scene is like, it's those kinds of guys, you know, but for country, what it is now, like, that's why some of it's listenable. It's just it's pop music, whatever. But let's get back to, so fascinating story here, right? I'm looking around because for the NBA, now things are starting to really heat up. What's going to happen is now it is, okay, so it's Sunday everywhere now. So let's say tomorrow, okay? Tomorrow, Monday, is going to be the beginning of everything going absolutely insane for the NBA because it's a tornado. I mean, the offseason for the NBA is always like, oh, well, here's all this drama of, you know, agents and players and power brokering and who's going to go where and Kawhi Leonard just pulling the rug out from everybody and shaking up the whole league. There's just all this cool, fascinating, crazy, maddening stuff that happens within the NBA. And we're about to get the trade deadline, I'm going to be saying that all night. We're about to get the beginning of the trade season on Monday. Then you get the draft 2 days later. Then 2 days later, you're going to get free agency. Like, everything is going to go absolutely bonkers really soon. And so now you're getting the rumors, right? Because these trades are in the works. They're not going to allow the trades until Monday, but you know there has to be a couple of trades that are already basically done now. It just have to be. Same way for every league, like, oh, you can't have the free agent tampering period until this day in March. And it's like 5 weeks beforehand, suddenly Adam Schefter just knows who's going where. You know what I mean? Like, we get it. So all that stuff is happening. One of the fascinating things about this is that Victor Oladipo, who, by the way, with the Pacers, and weird career, number two pick in the draft a couple of years ago, played with the Magic for a little while, wasn't really doing much, kind of forgotten about, considered a bit of a bust. Then he goes to the Pacers. He has this big blow-up. And you look at Oladipo and you go like, my goodness. Once he got to the Pacers, and he was at the Thunder for a little bit as well. Once he got to the Pacers and he was feeling it, I mean, the Pacers were fun. That was a fun team to watch. And he was the guy at the center of that. And then last year he had some injuries and it just wasn't the same. But Oladipo, apparently made things really weird last year. Because here's what was happening. There's three different instances, at least, where Victor Oladipo, during a game, because think about the NBA, right? I was kind of saying it a minute ago. Kawhi Leonard and how the Paul George thing came about. Like, Kawhi made that happen. You know, that's a fascinating thing. Superstars demand out all the time. When you go to an all-star game, that's valuable. It's fascinating because these guys are getting together and saying, hey, you know, I know you're going to be a free agent a year, so why don't you hit me up? Let's play together. Going to the Olympics, hey, I know you're going to be a free agent a year. Let's play together. They talk about that kind of stuff. It's fun. You know, the same way that we do it, like, wow, James Harden might go to the Nets, right? At least that's a theory. It, even if it's not necessarily a heavily, legitimately reported thing yet, not on the level that I've seen, but even if it's a theory that's going around and we're batting that around, like, wow, what would it look like with Harden and Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving? Can that work? Are the personalities too weird? What is Durant like coming off the injury? You know, as much as we fantasize about that stuff, players do too, right? They're people. They're 25-year-olds, 26-year-olds, 27-year-olds. Like, they're athletes, the whole locker room stuff. Like, they're having these same conversations. They're wondering the same way. And when they have those conversations off the court or at an all-star game or at the Olympics, like, all that kind of stuff, totally cool. Normal course of business. You know, text here and there, normal course of business. Victor Oladipo, three times last season, on the court, with his teammates present, went to the other team and said, hey, how about I play for you guys? Come get
me. True story?
Yes. That's the thing. It's surprising that he would do this, but apparently other players on the team heard him three different times asking to play somewhere else. He was their best player. He's asking to play somewhere else. Not great. Not great. And it gets worse when you consider the teams. And this is what's the totally insane thing about this, is when you see the list of teams that he was asking to play with him. Okay? One, Toronto Raptors. Totally makes sense. Toronto Raptors, pretty good team. Lost Kawhi. Won the title the year before. You go, okay, yeah, like, hey, if I get in with the Raptors, it could be pretty good. You know, I'm going to ride this train while it's rolling. So, okay, Oladipo's interest in the Raptors. Not a shock. The Heat, in the middle of the season, you know, good team. Didn't realize they were going to be as on fire as they were, and Jimmy Butler was going to quite blow up the way that he did, where he's getting like 35-point triple-doubles in the finals. But at the time, for him to be interested in the Heat, okay, I get that. But that's now two different times, two different teams that he's asked to play for them, to leave the Pacers in front of his own teammates and play for the opponent that night. But the third team, and this is the most troubling part, the third team was the Knicks. Yes, what was the Knicks? Why on God's green earth would Victor Oladipo ask the Knicks, ask a player on the Knicks, hey, how about I join up with you guys? Let's partner up. Like, that's crazy.
It's outrageous.
I don't get it. They don't have anything. There's nothing to get excited about. Like, if you want to say the idea of playing in New York, great. But the actual going to a player on the Knicks and being like, yeah, man, let's be teammates next year. I don't see that at all.
I'll tell you the one thing the Knicks do have, though.
Yeah.
Cap space. And you don't think these guys know about it like they know about everything else? They know that the Knicks have cap space because someone has told them, and they think, oh, that cap space is going to be earmarked for me. Big payday.
Yeah.
That's what they all think.
And Oladipo, by the way, only has 1 year left on his contract. So that's the situation that he's in going into this trade period, is he will be pretty available if he wants to be. Now, there is some reporting that he says, oh, he's just fine and he's happy to stay in Indiana. But also, begging three different teams on the court if he could play for them is not exactly a great
indicator. By the way, how do you think that just comes up? You think they're like in a timeout and it's like in the middle of the second quarter and he just like calls over to like RJ Barrett or Mitchell Robinson and he says, huh, you think I could come play here next year?
Yeah.
And they're just like, they like look at him and they're stunned. Like, part of me thinks it's like a big joke. Like, this is all a joke. Like, Victor Oladipo is like clowning people on purpose.
Maybe.
Just to think, like, huh, this might get out and this might become a story elsewhere. What do people really think about me as a player? And now I'm going to do this at the most ridiculous thing in the world. Whereas, like, he sat out most of the year last year with an injury. So, this obviously happened earlier in the year. And to think, like, huh, this guy actually wants to come play here with us, the Knicks?
Yeah.
This has got to be some sort of a joke.
That's the thing. That's on some level, I just think it, like, because these guys do know each other and they're friendly. And I know that rubs people the wrong way in some cases where they're like, oh, these guys don't want to murder each other after the game. Like, sports ain't what it used to be. It's like a common argument that I hear. But it is what it is. These guys are friends with each other. So is it one of those things where Victor Oladipo, he is just screwing around? And he's just like, hey, by the way, guys, let's play together soon. Me and you, we're going to be teammates, buddy. Like, is he just the guy where, okay, you've got an office retreat and you're in the mountains and you're all sitting in these crappy, uncomfortable plastic chairs in a circle and you have to be friends with that guy down the hall in accounting that, like, every time you look at each other, he's giving you a weird look and you don't know exactly what he's thinking, but it might be murderous and you're like, I'm just going to stay away from that guy. But now you got to be best friends in this little circle because you're in the middle of the mountains and you're being paid to be there. So now maybe Victor Oladipo is the guy that shows up to this little corporate bonding session. He's like, hey, everybody, let's get together. Go team. Like, he's just rallying everybody, and he's just that big, friendly, outgoing guy. So he's just going to every team and being like, hey, let's play together. Hey, you look great. Let's play together. You know, like, I don't know. It's a very strange story, though.
Doesn't this story make you think that this happens on a nightly basis in February where nothing is going on and Victor Oladipo just happened to be the one guy that got, you know, told on?
Maybe that's it, because I would figure these guys to some degree do it, but you would figure for the most part it's after the game, these guys hug each other, and they're like, yo, man, maybe it's me and you next year. You know what I mean? Like, I would figure it's something like that. It's just weird that multiple teammates would tell a reporter that Oladipo was doing this, because you also know as a player that's telling somebody, even when you're doing it anonymously, you know that story's going to come out, and you know what that means for the team, for Oladipo, all that stuff.
Well, the teammate or teammates obviously think that he's going to be gone next year, so it's not going to matter.
Well, yeah, if he's begging to go to other places.
If he's begging to be traded to the Knicks, he's got to be like, I would rather play for anyone to be stuck in Indiana. That has to be the way he's thinking. And the teammates who leaked it think the same way. They're like, he's not going to be here next year, so I'm not going to have to deal with him and talk about it in the locker room. So why don't I just tell somebody?
Or it's wishful thinking and they want him out. You're just seeing the whole thing. You're like, yeah, well, if he's going to keep saying he wants to play for other teams and he's been our best player, like, go somewhere else, man. We don't need you. So it's a weird story. Because if it was happening to this degree, like, all the time, everywhere, I don't even know if it gets reported. You know what I mean? If it's that standard course of business, I don't think it makes waves anywhere in any capacity because it's a non-story. But it's just weird that multiple players went out of their way to be like, yeah, that thing was happening, man. Like, you gotta report this.
The way the NBA is today, though, you have to think, like, this is happening everywhere on a nightly basis with some players. Like, when there's nothing to do and they're in the middle of a back-to-back and it's, like, January, and they're in some cold-weather city, and they know they can't go, like, they can't really do anything after the game. They're like, man, I wish I wasn't here. I wish I was somewhere else.
Yeah.
This has to happen so often that he just felt so comfortable to be like, yeah, I'll come play here next year. I'll play with you guys. In front of his teammates.
Well, that's the thing. Again, like, behind the scenes, guys texting each other, DMs, whatever. I would figure that stuff happens all the time. Shoe tours, these guys go all over the world promoting Nike, Adidas, whatever, Puma. They do a big baller brand. They're promoting all that. So, by the way, LaMelo's got his own brand right now. Did you see that, Graceffo? Did you see that?
I did not. Has something to do with playing basketball in Australia?
Well, no, so, I mean, one, LaMelo Ball's fascinating for that reason. I mean, for him to say, you know what, screw all the college stuff, I'm going to go to another country, I'm going to make a couple of bucks playing basketball, and I'm going to be good enough, and everybody's going to be aware of me anyway, that I'm going to go pro still, and he's going to be, like, a top five pick in the draft?
Stay in your lane.
Yeah, he left the lane. He took the exit road.
Well, it was basically like, I'm either going to go to UCLA or I'm not going to go anywhere. And when his brother got caught stealing the sunglasses or whatever, just so ridiculous that even happened. He's like, you don't want me to play here? Then I won't play here. So I'm just going to go make money in another country. Which is what, like, to be honest, which is what other players should be doing anyway. Well, is to be making money in another country to play basketball.
Well, now the
if
G
someone
League,
will allow you.
The G League has opened it up where they're starting to pay people because the NBA ultimately gets it. You have a partnership with the NCAA, but you still have that partnership and you can't totally break things up with them. But now that they open the door a little bit and the top players are going there, you're getting guys that, you know, will be lottery picks and they're going to go five-star recruits. You know, these guys are going to the G League. So you're slowly opening the door to taking those guys. Guys like LaMelo are just going to go to the G League in the future. That's where they're going to be. But he goes to the G League, and it's fascinating because, like, the LeVar stuff, for him to start his own brand, to become a man unto himself, like a national figure for just being the dad of a top pick in the draft, it is such a crazy and fascinating thing. But for his son now to see all that stuff and start his own brand and do that as, I mean, he's going into the draft now. So 3 days from now, that kid is going to get picked in the draft pretty high. He's probably, what, 18 years old, 19 years old. He's selling his own T-shirts, his own hoodies, his own socks. Those are the things on his website right now. But it's his brand that he makes all the money from. He's got all the control over. He's not at the whims of a deal with Nike or Adidas or whatever. And he can sell himself. And he's doing that right off the bat. I mean, that's like, it's amazing that anybody can be able to do that. And for LaMelo to do that right now, smart move by him. I don't know how often, this is the only thing that I wonder about with this, is all. It feels like a lot of players now have their own brand like that. I don't know how often people actually buy that stuff. Like, if you're into a player, usually you get the jersey. But if you love Marshawn Lynch, like, did you buy a Beast Mode T-shirt? You know what I mean? Is it going to move that way? Do you think people start buying that stuff? That's the other level of thinking about it. But it's fascinating that a kid's got his own brand already established. He can easily market it because he's got a ton of followers on all these social media channels. And he's just getting drafted. On draft night, he can wear his own stuff, promote his own stuff. Hey, I just got drafted. Here's my first post. Buy my T-shirts. And he's going to be making money on draft night. It's crazy.
God bless.
Yeah. Good for him.
And if it doesn't work out, you always had your LaMelo Ball T-shirt.
Yeah, you didn't lose anything. I mean, that's the thing. What's T-shirt manufacturing?
Everybody in Minneapolis, if that's where he goes, get your LaMelo Ball T-shirt right now.
Well, yeah.
Before they go really on sale, like the last time this family tried something like that.
Well, yeah, when you try to sell shoes for like $800, or whatever, were they like $400 maybe? Those shoes were expensive, man. Like, that was almost as much as a PlayStation 5, okay? That's a lot of money. It's a lot of money for a pair of shoes.
You're saying you didn't go out and buy a pair of Big Baller brand shoes?
I did not.
You did not.
I was not interested.
You did not.
No.
What do you think you could get a pair of Big Baller brand shoes now for?
Check eBay. Let's find out. Let's.
All right, I'll do that for
you. Let's figure out what they're worth, and we'll get to that next segment. By the way, we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket Ken.
You're listening to The Vince Quinn Show on CBS Sports Radio.
CBS Sports Radio.
Listening to The Vince Quinn Show, weekend overnights on CBS Sports Radio.
The Buccaneers sat on a tarmac for 5 hours. That is insane. They sat on a tarmac for 5 hours today as they were getting ready to fly out to their game in Carolina. By the way, that flight was about an hour, you know? Going from Tampa Bay to Charlotte is not that far of a flight.
Like, at that point, wouldn't you just bus it?
You'd think. That's the weird thing. Because when you're on the plane and you find out there's something wrong with the plane, they don't give you an estimate. Not really. Now, for the times that I've been just stuck on a tarmac, they're just like, listen, everybody, we've got a mechanical issue. Stay calm. We'll get back to you eventually. And you just have no idea what that means. You sit. And so the Buccaneers, who I would figure they're on like a nice chartered plane, they had them sit on that plane for 5 hours. 5 hours on the tarmac. How does that happen? Like, that's one of those things that it because here's the complicated and frustrating thing with all of this. I'm sure if you talk to somebody who works at an airport or, you know, has been a pilot or a host on a hostess on a plane, whatever the term is, like for all of those people, they probably know what that answer is. And there's something that makes sense about it. But for me, all I see is plane's not working. I'm not going anywhere for a while. Why am I still on the plane? Get me off the plane.
You gotta be beeping me.
They left him on the plane for 5 hours.
You gotta be beeping me.
That's they are professional athletes. These are high-paid people, okay? Powerful people. These are the people that you typically bend over backwards for. That's how it works. They're celebrities. They're athletes. It's Tom Brady. You know, like, get him off the plane. Nope, Tom Brady sat for 5 hours on the tarmac, which in a way... I kind of dig it. It's nice for him to have to experience the common man's problem. You know what I mean? It's once in a while, like generally I think people rip athletes too much for making all this money and whatever. Like, God forbid they're talented and they make what they're worth, right? But sometimes it's just nice to see them be like, oh yeah, I've got to deal with actual problems that actual people deal with. And sitting on a tarmac for 5 hours is a regular person problem. You know what
Bro.
I mean?
At least they'd have to worry about where Antonio Brown was for 5 hours, like if he was doing something shady. Like, you know. Or like they saw Antonio on his phone. Who are you texting?
Yeah. We told you, stop texting her, Antonio. Like, it's just crazy, though. I mean, how does that happen? Like, don't they have some idea if there's a mechanical issue with the plane, how long that's going to take them to fix?
Big fat failure.
Maybe. Maybe it's just a big mechanical problem. I don't know. Planes, like, here's the thing. I'll say this when it comes to planes. When there is a problem with the plane, and if I have to be stuck on the tarmac for a little bit because they need to fix the plane, I'm okay with that, all right? You're fixing a plane, okay? Think of the alternative of speeding it up a little because it's inconvenient to sit on the plane. You know what I mean? Like, well, what are we talking
again,
about here?
Once they realized, hey, we're in hour three and we're not moving... Didn't they think to themselves, huh, we're a professional football team. Maybe there are other ways we can get there, and it's not like it's a long drive.
Well, at that point, you paid for the flight. Your stuff is there. It's too late at that point. But the thing is, if you know it's going to be 5 hours or even, you know, more than an hour or two, get them off the plane. You know, like, I just don't know why. Is there a Saints fan that's at the airport? He's like, yeah, leave them on the plane. Yeah, screw them.
You think Gronk was like, I feel like we're flying, but we're not. Gronk was like, I don't know how planes work, but I know we should be in the air right now.
Who was the guy that had pot gummies in the NBA, and he had, like, an issue on
Deion
the plane?
Deion Waiters.
He got too stoned, I guess, on the plane.
He had a panic attack because he ate too many pot gummies on the plane. And then he said, man, I want to get released. So they were like, the Heat were like, yeah, let's release him.
And that worked out well for him because, you know, the Heat made it to the finals. So smooth. But you look at it, I don't understand why. That's just one of those things that will bother me. Honestly, if you have an answer for this, because this is a question that everybody asks themselves all the time. If you're on the plane and there's an issue and you're sitting there for 3 hours, why? Why can't they let you off the plane? Even if they're like, yeah, leave your stuff, you know, or take it if you want, but get off the plane. I've never understood that. It's clearly not explained well, because that is every time you sit on a plane, what happens? They go, well, ladies and gentlemen, we're having a little issue with the plane. We're going to go back to you. Everybody stay safe. So you go, okay, I guess we're going to sit here for a while. And then you're like 40 minutes in, and now you're starting to get antsy. And you're just like, okay, so, I mean, it's been 40 minutes. You think they're almost done. I mean, surely it's been 40 minutes. They would let us off the plane if it was going to be, you know, a couple of hours. Surely. So now that we're 40 minutes, it's got to be just about done. They're like, yeah, ladies and gentlemen, we're just checking back in. We're taking off the flight soon. Just hang in there. And then you're there for another 3 hours. And by that point, you're like, what is wrong with the plane? Is the pilot dead? Like, you don't know what's happening.
That is absurd.
It is. That the Buccaneers sat on a tarmac for 5 hours, okay? That's just, there's no good reason for that. I try to be a reason. I try to come up with the why for that. Like, Vince, you're getting them on the plane. You can't, it's tough to take them off the plane. Pressurizing the plane. I mean, the planes are coming and going all the time, right? Is it that complicated? Is that really what the issue is? I just don't understand. In 5 hours on a tarmac, you had professional athletes. You're talking about guys that are like 6'6 and 300 pounds, okay? You had those people sitting on airplane seat for 5 hours, not moving, not going anywhere. Crazy. That is just crazy to me. So I'll never understand that. I don't know. Again, if you have the actual answer to this, I would love to know. Why can't people get off the plane? 855-212-4227. Yes, this is CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4227. By the way, we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. They will not get you off a plane if you've been stuck on the tarmac for 3.5 hours. They will make you wait for another hour and a half. But if you need a mortgage, they'll take care of you. Now, other thing, and this is like, you can make case that this is, yeah, you know what? This is the biggest story of the week. I don't know why I'm hemming and hawing about this. This is a very obvious thing. This is the biggest story of the week. Kim Ang getting a GM position is massive. That is a massive bit of news. She is the general manager of the Miami Marlins. It happened on Friday. And, you know, first off, let's get the dumb part of the conversation out of the way. It is a dumb conversation. She's a woman, right? Oh, my God, she can't do the job. How could she? She's a woman. That is a dumb conversation. I'm sorry. It's a dumb point. It doesn't matter. Your gender does not matter. When it comes to the ability to evaluate players, the ability to value trades, organize your scouting departments, it doesn't matter. It has nothing to do with anything. There are plenty of men that have been general managers and are absolutely garbage at the job. One and done, got a second job, it didn't make any sense, they never did anything in their careers. You know, there's plenty of guys that have been god-awful at the job. So let's just first off disqualify the idea that only a man can do this thing. Here's the other thing, too, which is interesting about Kim Ang, is, and this is the truth for a lot of people, for whatever obstacle they have to fight, which is whether it's race or gender, when you get a job like this, and you're the first person to do it, you're overqualified. Kim Ang is overqualified to be a first-time general manager at this point in her career. She was with big organizations, in big jobs. She's been in the MLB in some capacity for 30 years. She's only 51. She could have been a general manager. She got first interviewed for a GM job 15 years ago. Okay, she was in the conversation 15 years ago. Can you imagine any other person in any other major realm of sports getting interviews for 15 years and not getting the job when they've never had an actual shot to do it? I mean, that's insane. It's completely crazy. But that's what she had to go through. And again, her experience is excellent. Assistant GM to the Yankees at 29 years old. That's incredible. That's a massive accomplishment for anybody of any gender. That's amazing. Good for her. And then not only is she with the Yankees, but she's also with the Dodgers in major management roles. She just wasn't the GM. So she's in the room for decisions. She's around all the process. She sees it with high quality, high paying, top of the line franchises. She's been there. AL, NL. She's seen it all. Grossly overqualified for somebody just now getting the opportunity. Lost time, in a sense. I mean, she should have gotten her first job years ago, and who knows how much better she would be at that job now, having, you know, even 10 years out of those 15 years to be a GM somewhere. Because I'm really confident that she's going to make it. And again, this doesn't have anything to do with the fact that she's a woman. She just happens to be a woman that is incredibly qualified for the job. You're not the assistant GM to the Yankees for a stretch of years at 29 years old if you're not any good at it. The Yankees can get anybody and everybody that they want. They do that all the time. She got that job. She deserved that job. It's easy. I mean, here's the thing. You could say, and I don't know what kind of credibility there really is to this argument, but naturally there's going to be some discussion and complication of, like, say, a coach, right? Like Becky Hammon at some point is going to be a head coach. That's going to happen soon in the NBA. If you get somebody that was a woman managing a baseball team, there'd be things of like, okay, well, locker room stuff, that's a little uncomfortable. But like outside of that, I mean, you can get past that and you can do the job. You know, it's a conversation you have to have up front because nobody's done it in that capacity, but it's not an actual big obstacle. It certainly shouldn't prevent anybody from getting the gig, and you go from there. But for her to be a general manager, she's in the front office. It's fine. It's not going to affect anything. So all that stuff is totally overblown. It's a shame that they've been scared of hiring her as a good candidate for so long, and good for the Marlins to go and make this leap because it's not a big one. It's a big step societally. It's a big step socially. But hiring Kim Ng, easy decision. Easy. Look at the resume. You know, we get so distracted by all this other stuff. Is she talented at the job? Does she have a good track record? For her being in the league for 30 years, what kind of relationships does she have? What is her reputation? People know who she is. They know what she's about. And she's been getting interviewed for 15 years. So clearly she's got enough respect that they've been talking to her for 15 years. But people have just been afraid to pull the trigger. So good for her. Good for her. Good for just women in sports who it's always harder for them. Like for me, because, you know, I follow people within the industry, people that do sports talk radio. You keep track of different stories of people. You know, in the NFL, you've seen strength and conditioning coaches, for example, that are women. And you see that stuff and you see the reaction to it. And you just get a rough shake of things. And, you know, I get the, like, I get an easier road because I'm a white guy. It's just what it's been. So you see the women and the struggle that they've had to go through with a lot of these things in the world of sports. It's getting better, but there's still a lot of mess with it. And something like this with Kim Ng, honestly, even if she doesn't work out, I think she's going to. Because again, she's just so qualified for the job. She's clearly bright. So I think she's going to hack it. But even if she doesn't, this is just, it's a nice thing to break the barrier down, and all the best of luck to her. And again, congratulations to the Marlins, because not only did they break the barrier, but they hired somebody who's just incredibly qualified for the gig. So 855-212-4227. That's how you join the show. 855-212-4227. I'm Vince Quinn. You can join the show on Twitter at It's Vince Quinn. That's all one word. At It's Vince Quinn. I want to transition to the NBA just for a minute here, because one of the things going on with the NBA is, you know, trades are going to be coming up soon. So everywhere, I know you're listening to this fine morning show, because now we are past the midnight mark on the West Coast. So on this morning show, it is now the 15th, but on the 16th is when trades are going to get started for the NBA. One of those guys that's been floating around is Chris Paul. Chris Paul, great year last year with the Thunder, a team that everybody saw as forgettable. And for him to have the season that he did, I mean, really strong season from Chris Paul. He was healthy. Like, great year. Now he's on the trade block again. And right now the Suns have been thrown around as a team, and I get that. Hey, older guy, successful guy, and get him with a younger squad, good point guard next to Devin Booker. Like, there's a lot of things for the Suns where it makes sense for them to go and get him. I would love to see Chris Paul on a better team than that. Like, I get the fit, but just for the guy, you know, the knock on Chris Paul is, oh, he's always complaining about calls. It's the NBA. A lot of guys do that. That doesn't bother me, right? I look at a guy that, you just think of the career that he's had, you know, the number of years in the league, the all-star appearances, he's a Hall of Famer. Chris Paul is going to be a Hall of Famer, 9-time All-NBA. You know, he's great. He's a great player. The fact that he's been able to handle everything as a player president, you know, Players Association, he is the president of that, has been for a number of years. That is not an easy gig. For the things now with COVID and brokering that, figuring out this season and when it was going to start, it's all been pretty smooth. Chris Paul is a big part of that picture. He deserves credit for that. And so thinking about the career that he's had, the respect that he's had, what he's been able to do within the league, like, there's a lot of reasons why I'm rooting for Chris Paul. The unfortunate injury against the Warriors when he was with the Rockets and they were so close to getting over the hump. Like, you just have a lot of things there where he just hasn't quite been able to get that break. And I would love to see that for him. I don't know how likely it is given cap stuff, but man, I look at Chris Paul and I just hope he ends up in a better place than the Suns. Anyway, and all due respect to the Suns. 855-212-4227. That's how you join the show. 855-212-4227. And coming up next, a couple of notes here with the college scene because it's going absolutely bonkers. College football, college basketball, that's all coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards and which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.